What we're here for tonight. I believe that's what we're here for tonight, is to find that strength to press on. We're going to take the prayer request at this time, and Brother David Silas, if you don't mind, to come and pray over these. Please pray for Brother Tracy. He's having several medical problems. I saw him in the ER, I think it was yesterday. Not feeling well, just remember him. Sister Jaretta Stockton, she has a swollen knee. Ask for prayers. Also pray for Brian Arnold, had two seizures today, fell, hurt his back, so let's remember Brian. Brother Howard Collins is scheduled for a CAT scan on Monday morning. Pray that all will work out for the glory of the Lord. Also for Brother Willis's father, Bud Willis, very feeble, barely able to walk, so let's pray for strength for him. Brother Baker would like for us to pray for him and Sister Baker, home not feeling well tonight. So if you wouldn't mind, let's just stand and Brother David would come and so ask him to take these knees to the Lord tonight.
Let's just bow our hearts if you would. Lord, we come before you this evening, Lord, thankful that you've given us this privilege to be able to be here. Lord, you see the request that's been turned in this evening, Lord. We just approach you, Lord. We reach up to grab the hem of your garment, Lord, this evening and pray, Lord, may virtue, I pray, flow to each one of these needs, Father. We ask, Father, may you just touch them, Lord, in your own way and by your will, we pray tonight. Lord, we just invite you into this service. Ask that you'd come, Lord. May you just anoint the music, anoint our brother tonight, Lord. May you just be able to come, Lord, speak what the people will have need of, Lord. We're very needed people tonight, and we need you to come on the scene once again, just once more tonight. May you come present, Lord. Meet your children's need, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let's work on that song some more. Brother Louis teaching us. Didn't I walk on the water?
As I kneel in the darkness, in the middle of the night, I'm praying for assurance everything's gonna be alright. Lord, I see another battle. It's out in front of me. I'm afraid I won't be able, and I'll go down in defeat. He said I walked on the water, I calmed the raging sea. I spoke to the wind, it hushed and I gave you peace. Didn't I run to your rescue? Didn't I hear you when you called? I walked right beside you, just so you wouldn't fall. Didn't I leave all the heaven, just to die for your sin? I searched until I found you, and I'd do it all again.
He said, do you remember you from. Just take a look behind you at how far you have come. And every time you ask me, didn't I deliver you? So why would you be thinking that I wouldn't see it through? And I gave you peace. Didn't I run to your rescue? Didn't I hear you when you called? I'm walking right beside you just so you wouldn't fall. Didn't I leave all of heaven just to die for your sin? I searched until I found you, and I'll do it all. Now she's talking to her father in a house that was once a home. Said, my bills are coming due, Lord. 6 days are not that long. She hears a voice so still and low. It says, I've moved like that before. I'll do this little thing, and I'll give you so much more. And he said, I want. I spoke to the wind, it hushed and I gave you peace. Didn't I run to your rescue? Didn't I hear you when you called? I walked right beside you just so you wouldn't fall. Didn't I leave all of heaven just to die for your sin? I searched until I found you, and I'll do it all again. Said I walked on the water, and I calmed the raging sea. I spoke to the wind, it hushed and I gave you peace. Didn't I run to your rescue? Didn't I hear you when you called? I walked right beside you, just so you wouldn't fall. Didn't I leave all of heaven just to die for your sin? I searched until I found you, and I'll do it all again. Sing, do you remember? Oh, do you remember, child, where I brought you from? Just take a look behind you at just how far you've come. And every time you ask me, didn't I deliver you? Oh, so why would you be thinking that I wouldn't see it through? He said, I walked on the water, I calmed the raging sea. I spoke the wind, it hushed and I gave you peace. Didn't I run to your rescue? Didn't I hear you when you called? I walked right beside you just so you wouldn't fall. Didn't I leave all of heaven just to die for your sin? I searched until I found you, and I'll do it all.
Brothers would like to come get the offering tonight. Amen. Let's sing, I Want to Know. I Want to Know How It Feels. Start with that chorus.
Well, I want to know how it feels to make my way down the streets of gold. I want to know how it feels to have a talk with the saints of old. I want to know what it's like to rest my feet by the river of life. I
about going home since I was just a babe on their knees. They said that nothing compares to what's waiting up there. How one day we'll finally be free. Well, I've never seen saints, but I keep believing it's a place like you and I have never known. Eyes on the sky, cause my soul wants to fly. Lord, my heart is ready to go. I wanna know how it feels to make my way down the streets of gold. Life that I'm living, it seems a piece of something I'll never find. I've tried to lighten my load, and in all I've got to show, 700 things on my mind. Oh, but I keep seeing visions of a crystal clear river where sin's forgotten without a trace. More than I've ever dreamed, my eyes long to see the look of love on my Savior's face. I wanna know how it feels to make my way down the streets of gold. I wanna know how it feels. The saints of
just raise our hands and worship Him tonight. Hallelujah. Thank you, God, for joining us tonight. Thank you, God, for an unquestionable visitation. Thank you for being here tonight, Lord Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. I so appreciate His visiting us tonight. You can go ahead and be seated tonight, if you will. I appreciate your participation. And Brother Chuck, if you don't mind, if you'll come and sing a song for us tonight. We'll just keep on having church tonight.
I wasn't there by the shores of Galilee when Jesus touched those blinded eyes and made them see. And though I did not see the empty tomb that day, I still believe, for I know what Jesus did for me. And I believe there is power in the blood of the Lamb. And I believe there is healing in the touch of His hand. But the greatest of all miracles was when my Jesus saved me, and I know what Jesus did for me. Now I have seen the lowest sin, sick soul, have life anew, be made pure, pure and whole. Chains of sin and set my spirit free, and I know what Jesus did for me. And I believe there is power in the blood of the Lamb, and I touch of His hand. But the greatest of all miracles was when my Jesus saved me, and I know what Jesus did for me. Yes, the greatest of was when my Jesus saved me, and I know what Jesus did for me.
Appreciate that song, Brother Chuck. If we could, let's stand tonight. Brother Donnie comes to bring us the word tonight. I think we've done our part tonight. I'm sure Brother Donnie's done his part. Let's just enjoy the service tonight. Let's sing that He's More Wonderful together.
And He's more wonderful than my mind can conceive. He's more wonderful
then my heart can believe He goes beyond my highest hopes and fondest dreams. He's everything that my soul ever longed for, everything He promised, and so much more. More than amazing, more than marvelous, more than miraculous could ever be. He's more than wonderful. That's what Jesus is to me.
From your heart, let's sing it one more time.
He's more wonderful than my mind can conceive. He's more wonderful than my heart can believe. He goes beyond my highest hopes, all my dreams. Yes, you do, Lord. He's everything that my soul ever longed. Everything is promised and so much more.
Yes, Lord. More than miraculous could ever be. More than wonderful. That's what Jesus is to me. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Let's bow our heads together. Lord Jesus, that song expresses it so well. How could one so great as yourself ever condescend to such a level to become what you did in order to redeem us? How could you ever look at us in the way that you do? That in Christ, without a sin, in you, blameless. Lord God, how we thank you, Father. We want you to know tonight, we so, so love you and appreciate you. Thank you for your great presence that you're among us tonight. We ask tonight, Lord God, as we endeavor to look into your word, that you'd take the word and make it real to us. May we as your people have such a trust, a faith, and a confidence in your word that we will know it will never fail and that you have equipped us for everything we have need of for our journey. Speak to us tonight, Lord. Anoint me and anoint the people that we can be able to receive from the hand of our Father. Well, it's in Jesus' name that we ask it. Amen. Well, I don't figure I have to ask you. It's good to be in the house of the Lord, isn't it? Isaiah chapter 5, verse 13. I want to speak to you tonight on this thought. Our great need for Logos. Our great need for Logos. Isaiah chapter 5, verse 13. Therefore, my people are gone into captivity because they have no knowledge. I want you to listen what kind of bondage now that a lack of knowledge and understanding of God and His way, look what it does. Not to sinners, not to infidels and heathens, but my people. Therefore, my people are gone into captivity because they have no knowledge. And their honorable men are famished, and their multitude dried up with thirst. Hosea chapter 4, verse 6. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. So because they have no knowledge, they go into captivity. And they are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. Now listen to this other part of this. God says, because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee. That thou shalt be no priest to me, seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, I will also forget thy children. And let me read this one again. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. And I want you to keep in mind now my thought, our great need for Logos. Do we need Logos in our life? Do we need instruction? Do we need the written word? We'd all love to walk by Rhema only, but that's not the way God designed it. And Rhema's will be wonderful, but they will be so far and, you know, be so few and so far between that God knew that you would had to have Logos and an understanding and a knowledge of Logos or you would be destroyed. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee. That thou shalt be no priest to me. Now remember, this is coming up close to the end of God dealing with them, and they were turned down forever to be the priest and the wife of God. And this is what eventually it brought them to. They rejected a knowledge, an understanding of what God wanted. I will reject thee. Thou shalt be no priest to me, seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God. I will also forget thy children. May the Lord bless his words. You may be seated. You realize, I know, that no matter how mature that we are in Christ Jesus, we must have a knowledge and an understanding of the word or we will cease to grow. Now, as much as we love Rhema, and we're certainly not done talking about it, but we know that it does not come to where that Logos competes with Rhema, Rhema competes with Logos, but God has comprised this move of his own distribution of the word so that it would be in both ways. That it would come in the way of Logos, that which is visible, that which is seen, that which can be read, that which can be comprehended and understood. And then that which, when God gives you something about a Rhema, a promise from God, probably a lot of times you won't even understand it. I don't want to shock you, but you don't even need to. A Rhema promise from God has nothing to do with your understanding. It has nothing to do with you making sense of it. But now Logos is a total different thing. So in understanding, and you know, we know that people get so afraid, and my, they become so terrified of having understanding, because, oh my, the scripture says lean not to your own understanding. I'm not talking about leaning to our understanding. I'm talking about having an understanding from God of his word. Now that's a total different thing. There's nothing wrong with understanding what God wants us to be. There's nothing wrong with understanding the program of God, how God wants us to live, what many people would term legalism, the do's and the don'ts, and don't do this and do that. I term as understanding God's way. Many people look at, oh, that's just legalism. Legal. You got to go to church. That's legalism. It's not legalism. It's understanding why God wants you to go to church. It's understanding why the women dress a certain way, the men dress a certain way, why we don't go here, why we don't say this, why we behave. That's not legalism to a real child of God. That's simply understanding what God wants of us as his people. Now, if people term that as legalism, it proves to me they do not have an understanding of his way, his nature, and what he requires in a certain way that God wants us to live. Now, watch this in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings. Now, listen how he terms this. As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. Now watch. Then this would not apply to a mature believer, of course, those who's been around for a long, long time. But God knows that there will be mature people. Now I hope you don't misunderstand me and confuse you on this. God has never in the New Testament separated his church by young people and old people. Jesus was the one who categorized his flock, and he categorized them to Peter as sheep and lambs. That had nothing to do with their chronological age.
It had to do with her understanding. Now, there might be a person sitting here tonight that might be 70 years old and just give their heart to God this week. God would look at them as a lamb. There might be a teenager sitting over here that would be 18 years old, and God would look at them as a sheep because they know more about God than the 70-year-old lamb would. God never broke down His church into a category of young people and old people, but He broke them down into a category of lambs and sheep. He told Simon Peter to yell, He said, Lord, you know I love me, feed my sheep. You love me more than these, Lord, you know I love you, feed my lambs. You love me more than these, Lord, you know I love me, then feed my sheep. He never broke it down into young people and sort of old people and real old people. God never broke it that way. Man done it that way. So then God desires to be able to feed the sheep. He wants them, of course, to, from the stage of lambs to become sheep. And Peter says, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word. And the church said, amen. Sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. If so be you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Now I want you to notice the word that he uses here in verse 2, the sincere milk of the word. Now, the word here in verse 2 comes from the Greek word logikos, which means logical or rational. Now, this is not rhema nor logos. So it's something that's logikos, logical or rational. Now, you know, many people have a hard time grasping this because they think becoming rational and logical will go against the word. Not when it's with the word, it won't. Now, when your logic leads you away from the word, forget your logic. But there is actually a logic which God will give us that will go right in harmony with the word so that we don't become a bunch of nuts. I don't mind being a nut if God wants me to be a nut. I just don't want to be a Reagan nut. Amen. We got a lot of nuts around the message, and they're not word nuts, they're just nuts. I don't want to be a nut. I want to have rationale. I want to be logical. I want to have rhema. I want to have logos. I want to have understanding. You understand what I'm saying? And there's so much of this, and this is why we have such weird and strange doctrines that tend to follow around this message, because people do not have this perception of God, this logical, rational type of concept. So they'll take a quote here and put it with the one over there and say, it don't even make common sense, much less God sense. Now look at this. So it comes from the word logikos, which means logical or rational. It differs with rhema in that rhema is a quickened word that we simply believe without having any understanding of it at all. With rhema, God don't necessarily give you understanding. He gives you power. But you know what? Much of our walk in God is going to be logos and logikos, which is going to use an understanding of what God requires of us as Christians, and also to be rational. And the church said, amen. Oh, how wonderful it would be if every day of our life was rhema. My, every principle of God was rhema. But friend, it ain't going to be. I'm going to read it to you tonight and prove you by the word that there's going to be way more logos in our life and way more logos preaching than there will be rhema. And God was the one who designed it this way. And not only will be that, but God also wants it to be logical or rational. So now the word logikos being a word which you and I then would understand, something that God would want us to do, then what do we do with that? Then we put it into practice. And then that's where God wants us to see. You know, you walk this way. Well, why? How come I walk that way? Well, because the word says so. How come we have to dress a certain way and go a certain way and do this and do that? And then God will have a minister to explain it, another to explain it that way, and another to explain it that way. Don't you see why he's doing that? If it was just by rhema, God would drop it one time, but I'll catch it at one time. If he wanted it to be that way, I'd make my job so much more simple. But God knows it won't be that way. So he'll have me to preach it, then Brother David or Brother Terry, somebody, Brother West, some of these other brothers, and they'll come from that way and come from that way and that way, and some of the very same things that you've heard, and all of a sudden it'll hit you. It'll hit you. And you know what? Many times it's not rhema. It hit that logikos part that God put inside of you, and all of a sudden you grasp it and you see it. And then what do? You take that and put that into application of your everyday life. Amen. Because then you have an understanding of what the word is actually saying. So this word, again, it goes into the word today in our English language that we use as logistics. Something that logistically we put together and we make it fit. But yet logistics is an art of planning and carrying out military movement and supply. The planning and carrying out of any complex or large scale operation or activity. So by this, God also incorporates this into his family. Now, a lot of the deacons' work, trustees' work, a lot of other work around the body has always been used this way since the New Testament. And of course, God knew that by the coming of the Holy Ghost, it would not take this away. It would actually place it in the body. What was the very thing, the reason that deacons were placed in the church in the first place? Because there were people there that were not being attended to. And they said, it's not right that we would leave the word, the apostles would leave the word, and we would take care of waiting on tables and helping the widows and helping the poor. So what did they use? They used that ability, the human ability that God gave them to say, you know what? There's got to be an answer. It was not a rhema from God. It was not a supernatural revelation that thundered out of heaven. It was their logic. God used their logic and their understanding. They said, this is not sensible. It's going to bring a reproach upon the word for us to let these people go. We've got to take care of them. So they got together and they said, hey, what if we do this? What if we get out a bunch of men and you get out a bunch of men among yourselves, and we'll get them from this Greeks, and we'll get them from the Phoenicians, and from this and that and the other, and let them take care of the daily administration of food and finances and things like that, so that we can take care of the word. And all the people heard this, said, that sounds great. That sounds like what we need to do. That was not a rhema from God. That was no, come on now, don't get quiet on me. This is why Brother Bram said deacons come from man and they didn't come from God. Right, this is not a rhema from God, but it was a need in the church. Praise the Lord. If the roof starts leaking on this building, we don't need a rhema from God to say, trustees, do we need a rhema from God to get the ceiling fixed? Do we need a rhema from God if we have to add to the church? No, this is something that God places inside the body. Friend, God don't want us to be a spiritual nut. He wants us to be able to take the word and apply it to our lives. Look, if you're spending more than you're making, you sound like the U.S. government. If you're spending more than you're making and then you know you're getting this repossessed and now I'm going through all these trials. Don't blame that on a trial because you don't know how to add. Come on, don't stretch out. Well, God's put me through this. God put me through that. Some of you smoked and drunk and abused your body like I don't know what. And then you become older and you figure God's going to give you a new body. You sowed those things in your body and you're going to reap the thing in your body. Use your logic. You don't have to wait for a rhema from God. You don't have to look, but we take the word. We apply it to our lives with the anointing or without the anointing, with the rhema or without the rhema. Listen to me. Don't misunderstand me. Without the rhema of God, I know how to live a godly life. Without the rhema from God, I know how to behave myself as a Christian. I know how to walk as a child of God. I know how to worship as a child of God. I know how to live as a child of God. Why? Because God gives me the Logos and He gives me this ability to use my logic. But I still like Remus too. Notice this in 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 14. Of these things put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord that they should strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. Study to show thyself approved. Now here Paul's speaking to Timothy, and of course it relates to the ministry as well. Study thyself to show thyself approved. And the word study is due diligence. Be forward, labor, hasten, exert oneself. Now this is what? Logic. I don't need a rhema. I did not need a rhema this morning to get up out of the bed and to go downstairs and study most of the day so you folks would have something to feed on. I did not need a rhema from God to be studying nearly every day of this week so you'd have something to feed on. I don't need a logos from God, a scripture, to tell me that God drops and sends me an email or a text or something. You know what? It is my logic. If you folks are going to feed, I've got to study. Praise the Lord. I don't need a rhema from God. Donnie, get up. It's time to get up. You got to go study. Lord, I don't want to study. I'm tired. I didn't rest good. You know what? It is my logic. If I don't study, if I don't apply myself, you're not going to feed very well. And that's not contrary to the truth. That's not contrary to supernatural. It's not contrary to the written word of God. It's part of the word. So Paul tells the ministry, study to show thyself approved. Now the word approved means one who's been tested and found acceptable. Actually, this word was used thousands of years ago. Because money has, whenever it first came into existence, was used in the form of metals. Counterfeiting was way back beyond, of course, the first century. But this Greek word, Philo and different ones of them started using this because it was something that they used to check money to make sure it was real. Because once they started making impressions of money in coins, then counterfeiters started faking those coins, but they would have a way by which they would have it a secret type of thing to where you'd be able to check and know if this was real or not. And Paul used this same word for a preacher. I don't think that was a mistake, do you? He knew there'd be all kinds of counterfeit preachers. So Paul said, study to show yourself approved. Now, that's the part that a man could do. Notice, it's not the Spirit of God now that's moving on the man. The man will study. This is his part. He will study, and the Spirit of God will quicken. Now, it's God's obligation to me and the rest of these ministers whenever I study, and I study in the right frame of mind, it is Almighty God's responsibility to give me what you need as your pastor. You've heard me say before, I don't say, well, today I'm going to study. I'm going to find something to preach this weekend. That ain't the way God deals with me. God will deal with me by a thought. I read a quote. I hear a tape. Or I'll see a sign somewhere that says something or another. And then from there, I will start studying. And then from there, it goes and goes and goes. And I have about four windows open right now in Microsoft Word, four windows in the Message, four windows on the Bible. And I just go back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. I study for Saturday and Sunday and Wednesday at the same time, if that makes any sense to you. And it's God's obligation to give me what you need. I don't depend on me. I don't depend on my ability. I don't depend on my gift. I depend on Him. But I know I have a responsibility, and that is study. And then if I study and I'm called of God, I believe as long as we're here and I'm able to study, God will feed you folks. But you know what? Studying is not enough within itself. A workman of God, notice, study to show thyself approved unto God. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now remember this, laity, you are not called to rightly divide the word. You can listen to tapes, you can read your Bible, you can study the Message, but you're not gifted to rightly divide the word of truth. This is to the ministry. And the church said, right, now notice then, this is the logos that the man of God is supposed to study, because you can't study Rhema. You can't study Rhema. It's not written down. God will take the written logos and transform it into Rhema, but there's no software, never has, never will be, developed for a Rhema study. You cannot do it. You can't see Rhema. You cannot feel Rhema. You cannot taste Rhema. It is that which is invisible that God transforms it and makes it a supernatural revelation to you. Oh, thank the Lord. Now notice then, isn't it amazing that Paul says that we are to rightly divide the word logos of truth? No preacher is ever commanded to rightly divide Rhema. Because you can't. There's no way to rightly divide it. The Spirit rightly divides the Rhema and might take 4 words or 10 words out of a verse or 2 verses. And He'll quicken that to you and make it real to you. It don't need to be divided by a preacher, by your mama, by nobody else. The Spirit has done quicken that and pulled it out and made it real to you. So He's not commanded now. A preacher is not commanded to rightly divide the Rhema of God. He's not commanded to rightly divide the mind of God. But He is commanded to rightly divide the written word, the Logos. Praise the Lord. Oh, glory to God. Don't you appreciate God's word? Rightly dividing the word of truth. Now, this is amazing. It only occurs right here in the New Testament. No place else. This is the only place it is written. And it means, rightly dividing, of course, nowhere else in the New Testament, to cut straight, to divine right and his delusion to a servant that was put over the people of God, the steward of a household, and is to rightly divide their portions and give them their portions of what they need. Now, this is why you cannot do this yourself. This is why you need a pastor. Oh, but I've got a Bible, Brother Donnie. I've got the software. I've got the same tapes you do. But you're not called to rightly divide. You're not called to cut yourself the portion that you need. We never know how to do that. It takes the Holy Ghost to do it. So here, if that was what's going to be on the last day, then Paul would have said, well, this will go up to the last day. Then the last day, everybody will have tapes. They'll all have Bibles. So they'll be able to rightly divide it themselves. That's not the way God instituted it. And that's why I stand against that Antichrist move around this message. It says so. Come on, children. Antichrist, absolutely. Brother Bram said anything against the teaching of Christ is Antichrist. To be anti-ministry is Antichrist. Well, glory. You're not anti-my ministry. You're anti-his. You're not doing anything to these brothers. You ain't going to stop us. We're going to go on anyway. That's right. But then what does it do? But see, reasoning now will kick in by. We've got the perfect word. We've got the tape. We've got all this, that, and other. But what are they doing? They're not called to rightly divide the word of truth. So God sets up the Logos. Now watch. The right kind of knowledge, listen to me, is godly. Do you understand? If you have been given by the Spirit of God the right kind of knowledge, God has given to you an attribute of his own being. Godly knowledge. Can we read some scriptures? Let's take a tour through the word tonight. 1 Samuel chapter 2 verse 3. Talk no more so exceedingly proudly. Let not arrogancy come out of your mouth. For the Lord is a God of knowledge. And by him actions are weighed. 2 Chronicles 30:22. And Hezekiah spake comfortably unto all the Levites that taught the good knowledge of the Lord. And they did eat throughout the feast 7 days, offering peace offerings and make confession to the Lord God of their fathers. Now here Hezekiah was a great king. He done a great restoration in the days of his kingship. But yet he himself did not have the ability, nor was he called, to take the knowledge of the word and instill that knowledge into the people. But because the people had got away from the knowledge of what the word said, they didn't know how to worship. They didn't know what to do. They was into idolatry. And so the king recognizes it's not enough to have a good king. You got to have some preachers out there among the folks. And then preachers have got to preach the truth. God never called me to preach me. God never called me to preach how great I am, how gifted I am. He said, preach the word. Right. Preach the word. Proverbs 2:6. For the Lord giveth wisdom. Out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. Proverbs 18:15. The heart of the prudent getteth knowledge, and the ear of the wise seeketh knowledge. So you mean it's not wrong for us to know? Absolutely not. Where do we get this at? God wants us to so understand, even by the realm of Logos, that when anybody comes up to us, why do y'all baptize in Jesus' name? Don't think a rhema will come to you every time you're asked. It will not. Well, you said I was so embarrassed. I was so good. Where was God at? You should have applied that other part of the word. To know what's right so you can give an answer. Right? Notice Jeremiah 3:15. I love this scripture. I will give you. You understand what a real pastor is? He is a gift from God to you. I will give you. Not one. Not one. Brother Ram ain't the bride's pastor. Come on now. I will give you pastors according to mine heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and with understanding. They will feed you. Now, this is a channel or an administration by which the real God called men will feed the bride in the last day. Not only then, but of course at the apostolic movement, it started 2,000 years ago. And they are called to feed the bride, not just with rhema, but they are called to feed the bride with an understanding of God's way, with knowledge of God's way. Oh my, how wonderful it would be if every time I'd open my mouth, there'd be rhema, 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 rhema. But you know what? God never did do it that way with a preacher, and he ain't going to start with me. But God knows the church needs so much understanding. They need so much knowledge. They need so much logos. They need so much logistics. They need so much rhema. And God mixes it all together, and a real man of God just follows it. More sometimes it may seem like he's got a shotgun sermon. He'll blast over here and blast over there and blast over there. But a real man of God follows the Holy Ghost. Yes, sir. Now watch this. In Colossians chapter 1 verse 9. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Now here Paul prayed that the saints of God would be filled with the knowledge of His will. Don't raise your hands. But how many of us are? Or are we just filled with scriptures and quotes? And football, baseball, and money, and cooking, and whatever more. Is it wrong with having an understanding of cooking? No, sisters, please don't stop cooking. We'll die. Is it wrong to have an understanding of how to make money? No, but don't let any of those things become the primary thing that we feed on. But Brother Donnie, I'm laity. Oh, you think the devil don't find laity just because they're not preachers? You need to know how to use this word on a laity basis, friends. Not on a basis to debate with a minister or try to witness of this and that and the other. That's beyond your capability. But in order to fight as a child of God, every woman has a right to read the Word of God and listen to tapes so the Holy Ghost can bring this word back to her memory. Come on, sisters, it's your place. It's your right as a daughter of God. When you stand there against the devil and the devil goes to hammering you, that you're able to stand there as a daughter of God and say, get behind me, Satan. You ain't got authority to preach, and you ain't got authority over us as men. But isn't it amazing? You ain't got authority over me as your pastor, but God gives you authority over the devil. Woo! Oh, glory, I like that. You ain't got authority over your husband, but God gives you authority over the devil. But you got to have an understanding of where you stand or it won't do no good. Watch this in verse 10, Colossians chapter 1. He says, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Increasing. I don't want to come to a spot to where I know no more. You understand? This is where so many message folks have stopped. They've stopped, friends. They can go no farther. God sent a prophet, and oh my, they rally around that. They've been there for 40 years, some of them. Around and around and around this mountain. But Paul said, increasing in the knowledge of God. 2 Peter 3:18, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. Amen. So do we need logos? Oh, you know that already. Yes. Let's look at some New Testament examples where it's used. St. John 5:24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my logos and believeth. Notice the difference now in logos and rhema. Logos is based upon action and interaction. There's things you must do, or it will not work. Rhema, if God gives you a word from God and you're 175 years old and God says you and your wife's going to have a baby, you can laugh at him all day long. If I was you, I'd get the diapers ready. You say, but I'm so old, I can't even, it don't matter how old you are, God will change your body. Why, rhema is not depending on you. A rhema from God, you don't need understanding. You understand what I'm saying? With a rhema, you most of the time probably won't understand it. Notice how Jesus says this. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word, logos, and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life. He that heareth, notice these two factors now. He that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. But what if he hears and don't believe? Or how can he believe if he don't hear? Now look at these circumstances that are tied to logos, that it makes it totally impossible to be able to receive without these factors added to it. St. John 5:38. You have not his word, Logos, abiding in you, for whom he has sent him ye believe not. St. John 8:31. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed in him, if you continue in my Logos, then are you my disciples. Now notice it's not based upon, oh, you're mine. I'll tell you, this is the way you know, because I give you rhema after rhema after rhema. As long as you walk in the word, you are. If you ever leave the word, you ain't. Now watch, this is conditional. So this is totally tied to Logos. Then the human element mixed with Logos, as long as you do this and this and this and this, you're all right. But if you ever fall away from that, boy, you're gone. How can those who are a part of his mind ever fall away from that which he has spoken about them? But what is this? This is the relation to Logos with us as humans. Notice this in St. John 8:37. I know that you're Abraham's seed, but you seek to kill me because my Logos hath no place in you. St. John 15:3. Now you are clean through the Logos which I have spoken unto you. So Logos is associated with sanctification. Oh, if God would take this pornography away from me. Oh, if God would break down my computer so I wouldn't get on these old filthy websites. You have no logic, do you? If God would shut down all these old cigarette factories, I wouldn't be tempted by smoking. If you're delivered of smoking, you could live right next door to Winston in Winston-Salem. And it ain't going to bother you. Just the smell. I said it ain't going to bother you. But you see, whenever we take the word and well, I don't want this and I don't like that and I'm depending totally upon God. I understand that. I am too. But God gives us the ability to hear, to read, to understand, to use the rationale that he gave to us. Come on, church. And we walk by that principle. And when we do that, but what we do, we want, well, it's not my place. That's why I pay the preacher. You pay the preacher. Wow. So you pay me to do your praying, your Bible reading? You pay me to do your rapture power too? And somehow is that included in your benefits or your program of you paying me? And then why ain't I got more rhema? Why ain't I got more rhema in my life? Could be because you're missing logos and logistics. Well, glory, y'all sure is awful quiet tonight. I don't know if amens are logistics or rhema or logos. I'm not sure what they are. I wish I could figure that out. St. John 17:6. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept the logos. Now notice, this is something they must do. It's not something that automatically comes. They have kept the logos. They have kept the logos. But every one of them now are fixing to break it. Because they're fixing to deny him. They're fixing to leave him. They're fixing to say they don't know him. They're going to run the Garden of Eden like a bunch of chickens. And you know what? They will no longer keep the logos. But aren't you glad when you don't keep it, he's got something that keeps you. Oh, glory. Oh, glory to God. St. John 17:17, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy logos is truth. Now, friend, this is where that logos can be very hard. Logos can be very strict. Logos, oh my, you know, I so thank God for the remas in my life and how many times that God has spoken to me by his word and quickened something to me. And some of them have been by correction, but for the most part, I think I could say myself that the most of the remas that I've got from God, many of them have been to preaching sermons and preaching things that would feed the body of God. And yet many of them have been to my own walk with God. And most of them have been great revelations or, you know, something that would open up in the word and you could see yourself in the word. But the logos can tend to be more instructive and more corrective and more disciplinary and more in that line. And oh my, it can be grievous to be born. And the logos, people can become very offended at the logos. You ever seen anybody, they're fighting mad. I'll tell you one thing. God, give me a revelation. I'm the bride. I'm so mad. God, give me a revelation. I'm going to heal this cancer. I'm so mad. Most of the time, they're so elevated, they're so happy, they're so revelated. But them same people sit there and pooch that lip out when the logos has been preached. That sword of the logos and that whip is striping them like a skunk. Man, they look like one and smell like one and go to acting like one if they're not careful. Why? Because that Logos can be hard. It can be strict. It can be strenuous. But it's needful. Praise the Lord. Notice Acts chapter 4 verse 31. And when they prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. Now this is after they'd already received it now in Acts 2. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And they spake the Logos of God with tenderness and gentleness to make no one mad. Now notice what most preaching is. Logos. Notice the New Testament as it records that most preaching is Logos. You understand? I could say Rhema after Rhema. It won't be Rhema unless you receive it as Rhema. It's amazing that two people can sit in the same church on the same pew. And one will hear Logos and another will hear Rhema. They'll sit right there. That was so hard. That was another said, hard. What are you talking about? That set me free. What are you talking about? Oh, that made me so mad. Mad. I was so glad I couldn't hardly contain myself. I was about ready to start cutting up, as Brother Ram said. My, what are you talking about? I don't know how in the world you got that. I was so mad I couldn't hardly stand it. Logos and Rhema. Praise the Lord. Acts chapter 6 verse 3. Wherefore, brethren, look out among seven men of honest report. Now this is the men choosing of the deacons. Full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom you may appoint over this business. Not spiritual matters now. Nothing to do with the word. Nothing to do with instructing the pastor. Running the church. It's business. Waiting on tables. Well, glory. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the Logos. Now watch what they must do. They know God has given them logic to understand. If we go out there as the men and we're over here and over there and over there and over there, no time to prayer, no time to study, socializing, visiting, here and then. When I get up on Saturday night, I ain't got nothing to say. Because I've been at your house last night, yours the night before, and yours the night before, and yours the night before, and you've drained me. You've left me like a sponge. Glory. So they said, we've got to give ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the Logos. Well, Peter, don't y'all believe in Rhema? Sure they believed in Rhema. But they had logic. They had an understanding that they must spend this time with God in order to feed the sheep of God.
And the church said, those of you who didn't say amen can say ouch. Now I realize, friends, this is probably the biggest complaint I get from most folks in this church. They never get to spend enough personal time with me. And I'm really sorry about that. But it's a choice you must make. I feed you the way I feed you because I give so much time to the Word. Or I feed you way less and you get more personal time. But you know what? I've not looked to where the personal time will put you in the rapture.
Well, I want both. I didn't offer you both. I offered you one or the other. You're a Republican Democrat. Get off the fence. Make a choice. You want to feed like a bunch of fattening hogs where you waller out here and you're so fat and so rolling around you're full on the Word? Or you want to spend all kinds of time with me and you can be so skinny that you can stand under a clothesline in a pouring rain and not get wet? Drink a glass of red Kool-Aid and you look like a thermometer spiritually. You make the choice. For me and my house, I think we'll just stay fat. Glory. Hallelujah. Now what? So they didn't have to pray about this by name. And maybe we need to pray about it and just see what did they use in choosing deacons? They used their logic. This makes perfect sense. We've got to do it this way. We've got to stay focused on the Word. They didn't have to pray for revelation. They have to go on a 7-day fast. They have to go on a 14-day fast. Brothers, you don't have to go on a fast about divorcing your wife and marrying a younger one. I can tell you right now by logic, that's the devil telling you that. Sisters, I don't have to pray and fast about, is it okay for you to cut your hair and start wearing shorts? No, it never was right. It ain't right now. We use our logic on this thing. Well, I'm waiting for a revelation whether I can wear shorts or not. You don't even need a revelation. I can tell you that. My. Acts chapter 6, verse 7. And the word, Logos, of God. Increased. And the number of the disciples multiplied. Why? The word increased. So as the word growed, they growed. Multiplied Jerusalem greatly in a great company. The priests were obedient to the faith. Isn't that amazing? Chapter 8, verse 4. Therefore, they were scattered abroad, went everywhere. Now, this is when the persecution come. They were scattered abroad and went everywhere preaching the Logos. Amen. Amen. You mean, preachers are supposed to preach Logos? Absolutely. Amen. Right. Amen. Chapter 10, verse 44. And Peter, while he yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them that heard the Logos. Now, once they receive the Holy Ghost, they become candidates to receive Rhema. But how did they get the Holy Ghost? As they receive the Logos. You friends, you cannot receive the Holy Ghost without lining up to Logos. Acts chapter 11, verse 1. And the apostles and brethren that were in Judea heard that the Gentiles, oh glory, here we come, the Gentiles had also received the Logos of God. Oh, praise the Lord. Acts chapter 13, verse 48. Whenever the Jews turned down Paul and them, look what they done. They said, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the Logos of the Lord. And as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. Hallelujah to God. Believe what? The Logos of God, which puts them in divine contact in order to have access to Rhema. But they could not have access to Rhema and deny the Logos. How can we walk a supernatural walk, a spiritual walk, and deny the very simple basics of Christianity? You understand, we don't need a Rhema from God to give to the poor. If you see your brother naked and destitute, you don't need a revelation from God, a rhema from God. James tells you about that, brothers. Do your work, express your faith by helping those. How can you say you love God if you see your brother destitute? You don't need a revelation from God. Well, I heard Brother Skip didn't have nothing to eat on his table. God, I'm going to fast for 14 days. Don't worry, we'll bury him before then. That's common sense. That's logic. You look at the word, you see your brother and sister in the need, you say, God, what can I do? Help me, Lord, to feel. You don't need a revelation. You don't need a revelation to come to church. But I was thinking about going to a ball game tonight or coming to church. God, give me a rhema. God won't tell you nothing like that, you knothead. The Logos tells you, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. Oh my. And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad. What about you Gentiles? And they glorified the Logos. Isn't that amazing? It didn't make them mad. They glorified the Logos of the Lord. And as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. And the Logos of the Lord was published throughout all the region. You don't publish Rhema. Rhema does not grow. Rhema is not divided. Rhema cannot even be understood many times. It's something that is so personal from God. He's the only one that can dispense it. And he will give it what he wants, the way he wants, as much as he wants. And until he does, we feed on Logos. We study Logos. We preach Logos. Don't we, Brother Terry? We preach Logos. We love Logos. We talk Logos. And when he gives that ream on top of a man, it's like whoop cream on the top of a pizza pie. If I don't have the whoop cream, I'm going to eat the pie anyhow. But when I get that whoop cream, I'm going to smack my lips like a horse eating red clover. I mean, it's just more right on top. I ain't going to stop eating because I ain't got a reamer from God. I'm not going to stop believing because I don't get a reamer from God every day. I'm going to stand right there in the promise of the Word of God and take my stand and say, here I stand, right here on God's word. Notice Acts 19:10. But this continued by the space of 2 years, so that all they which dwelt in Asia, listen to this, all they which dwelt in Asia heard the Logos of the Lord Jesus.
both Jews and Gentiles. But remember, those who don't obey Logos, it will be Logos who will judge them. As we looked at it Wednesday night, remember, whenever he comes, he ain't got Rhema wrote on his side. He's got Logos. Why? The Logos is going to judge them. The denominational people, the people around the message who've heard the Logos preach, you know, the word says this and the word, don't you understand why they'll be judged? They will be judged because they don't even need a revelation. When Logos is preached that tells them, and you read it from Acts 2:38, Acts 8:16, Acts 22, whatever it is about water baptism, they don't even really need a revelation to be able to see this is the way they did it. Amen. Whenever it tells us about a woman dressing like a woman and a man dressing like a man, you don't need a revelation from that. But don't you understand, those who refuse that Logos, that same Logos will come written one day, written on his thigh, my, his name is the Logos of God. Oh my, don't let me be there, Lord. Colossians chapter 3, verse 16. Let the Logos of Christ dwell in you richly. Now listen how he says this. As if though you and I have something to do with it living in us. And we do. Or he would not have said, use this word let, which means allow or permit. Permit the Logos to live in you. Why wouldn't we want it to live in us? Why would we refuse it? Because the Logos can be grievous. The Logos, my, when somebody says something against you and your old flesh is my old flesh and ain't born again, and it ain't got the Holy Ghost, and our old flesh wants to do this or that or the other to get back at him. But if we let the Logos dwell in us richly, it will say, turn the other cheek, turn the other cheek. And then we say, after I've smacked his, I will. Okay, Lord, I blacked both eyes and broke his jaw. Now I'm going to turn my other cheek. I sure you are. He's laying on the floor. He ain't even breathing. Come on now, saints. You see, you will not, it will not be a rhema from God that'll come, turn your cheek, turn your cheek. But it'll be the disciplinary action of the Logos that you are allowing to so live in your life. Oh friend, can you imagine what kind of Christian we can be? That our lives are so fertile that our walk as a Christian is like a fertile valley, you know, wherever it was, the most fertile valley on the earth. And the Logos, the seeds of God drop down in that fertile valley of our life. And they're so nourished by the nutrients of God and the water of the Holy Ghost that that word, when something happens, that word automatically comes right out. That word automatically comes right. The word says, the word says, the word says, the word. Don't you understand? That is a Christian that is so fruitful. They're not standing there just rhema, 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 rhema. It's the discipline of the Logos. They have so fed on that word and they see the need to apply that word. And they are letting the Logos, oh my, hallelujah. They are letting the Logos dwell in them so richly. In all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. 1 Thessalonians 1:5, for our gospel came not unto you in Logos only, but also in dunamis and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance. As you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. 2 Timothy 4:2. Preach the Logos. Be instant, in season, out of season. Reprove. Rebuke. My Lord, what are we talking about here? A gangster or a mafia leader? A preacher. This is one of the requirements of a God-called preacher. Reprove, rebuke, exhort. Well, glory. Preach the Logos. Now notice how this what accompanies Logos many times. Be instant, in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. Goodness. Didn't you see why Logos can become... See, Logos tends to be a toe curler. You know, you sit there... I was thinking about Rick Carpenter in the church here, and I'm going to take a tour through the pews and see if we might need to recarpet them, but I'm going to get down on my knees and look up at the bottom and see if any of you Logos clinchers have been tearing the foam out.
Well, you're sitting there scrunching up. The Logos tends to do that. But oh my, I can tell when y'all get a rhema. Oh, you got a smile that wide. It's amazing your face ain't that wide. It just wraps around and back over here and says, oh yes, oh God, oh God. But I can also tell when you're enduring Logos too. You're just sitting there looking, trying to act like you're not mad, but I can see you are. Trying to act like your blood pressure is okay. That redness in your cheeks always gives you away. Why, friends, that's the way it is. But we need that. Don't you see why? That people who reject this, they're cutting off the very access to Rhema. My, none of us like to be preached on. I don't like to be preached on as far as the flesh. But my, if that's what I need, Lord, pour it on me. Lord, if that's what I need to discipline, oh, it'd be so wonderful to be revelation after revelation, Rhema after Rhema. But Logos, there's something about Logos that reaches right down in there where you are, and it agitates and irritates and aggravates in order to change you to be what you need to be. Why? Because God knows such a great portion of your walk must be Logos oriented. So if you feel uncomfortable with the Logos, how can you ever make it your heart a rich place for Logos to grow? Oh my. Listen to this in Hebrews 4:1. Let us therefore fear lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them. Now chapter 3 is talking about the Jews and how the Jews were cut off. Now listen to this next verse. You're talking about a powerful verse. For unto us was the gospel preached as well unto them, but the Logos preached did not profit them. Now think how that the pure, unadulterated Logos of God. Now Paul told Timothy, preach the Logos. You believe preachers in this day that are called of God can preach the Logos. The very thought of God. Brother Ram said when the true anointed of God speak, it's God, it's deity speaking. You believe it, church? Now notice, but it won't do any good unless it's mixed. Now Rhema already is mixed. Rhema already has faith with it, but Logos doesn't. Logos is not a package. Logos comes and then we must hear, we must believe, we must act, we must continue, and we must continue to believe and continue to fight and continue and continue and continue. But when God gives you a Rhema word, Abraham, I'm going to make you the father of many nations. Sarah lived, Abraham lived. God said, don't make no difference. I'm still going to do it anyhow. Amen. They failed. Absolutely. They failed. But did the promise of God fail? Absolutely not. Why? It was already mixed with faith. But Logos don't come that way. Now notice, so the gospel was preached unto us as well as unto them. But the Logos preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. So Logos, all my people, oh man, we're hearing the word. Oh man, we're hearing the word. But that's not the thing of it. Are you mixing that word with your faith and making it manifest? Rhema comes already mixed. So much faith, so much dynamite, so much word. Pew, there it is. Logos comes, it's seed. It can lay right there and die and produce nothing. Is this true? Now watch this, Hebrews chapter 4 verse 11. Let us labor therefore to enter into that rest lest any man should fall after the same example of unbelief. For the Logos of God is quick and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword. Piercing. Uh-oh. That sounds like our church services. Piercing. So the word has a piercing ability. How many knows it does? Man, it goes right down to where you are. Now it has a piercing ability through the power and the energia of the Holy Ghost. So it's compared to a sword to divide things. Yes, sir. Divide and separate things that have become united in the wrong union. And the word will come and whack. Quick, powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword. So it cuts you and the preacher doing the preaching too. Amen. Piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. The Logos is so sharp, so powerful, so pointed. It's like a two-edged sword. Man, it comes cutting and you're bleeding and you're cut all up everywhere. You walk out of here like you've been to a sausage grinder. People say, where have you been? Church. The man, you look like you're cut to ribbons. That's the way my pastor is. He's got a sword, not a butter knife. All right, hallelujah! A butter knife's a good thing if you go to old Charlie's and sit down and they bring them rolls out there and set them down on that table and them hot things are popping up there and you grab one of them babies and lather that dude down with that butter. A butter knife's a good thing. But a butter knife ain't no good when you got sin in your life. Butter knife ain't no good when you got all kinds of fears and complexes. But what you need is a preacher with a sword. A sword that'll go right down and divide your soul from your spirit. Glory! And that comes by Logos. Notice this. For the word of God is quick, powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, even of the joints and the marrow. You understand what this is? Paul is using the symbolism of the priest taking a sacrifice and dividing it before he offers it. Now the wave offering or the heave offering, certain things that would burn the entire animal, but in some sacrifices, they would bring it whole to the priest, and the priest would take a knife, and there he would divide and cut because God only wanted this part. So he's to take the shoulder and he's to do this and cut it down to that. And they must be precise. You're talking about professional butchers. They must be precise. God didn't want no loin. God didn't want no ham. God wanted this certain thing. You better not bring none over. So you imagine how they studied that. And they rightly divided. Oh, glory. They rightly divided that sacrifice because God said, I want a shoulder. Brother Amos said, I have to run down through there. You brothers are skin an animal. Know what I'm talking about. And you run it down through there. Don't you put no loin on there. Don't you put no ham on there. I want shoulder only. If God said women have long hair, that's what God wants. Then that don't mean you have long hair on one side and bobbed hair on the other. Come on, church. Amen. If God said man's got to dress this way and love their wives and do this, that, and the other, God didn't say, well, you can have a little bit of loin on there if you want to, a little bit of ham. But God said, you ministers, take that word and rightly divide it. Cut it down to them. Tell them this is wrong. Tell them that's selfishness. Tell them this and that and the other. Glory to God. Why? Because God wants his accepted sacrifice. So they must even know how to divide the joints. They must study the anatomy of this animal. They must take that and cut, dividing between the soul and the spirit and the marrow of the joints. You believe that's where we are, friends? We're not way down here, why, at the pyramid. We're not just way up here in the days of Luther and up here, you know, even in the gifts and even in the early years of coming to the message. We're right down to the honing part. Is that right? It's delicate. It's difficult. It's difficult. I'll tell you one thing. You don't want a guy that just knows how to operate a chainsaw if he wants to build you a piece of furniture. Maybe you want to sit down on a couch that's been cut out with a chainsaw, but not me. I like my hide too well. Come on. Maybe you want to sleep on a bed that was cut out by a chainsaw. Not me. I want something that's been planed down and smoothed. God is not coming for a bride that's way down here at this rough state. Well, I can't live right. I could have come on the rapture anyhow. Oh, no. We're up here at the top where he's honing it down. He's polishing it down. Glory! He's not using chisels no more. He's not using big blocks no more. But it's that real fine sandpaper in order to make me, in order to make you line up with that word. What's doing it? The word. Quick, powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, dividing and separating soul and spirit. And marrow and joints. Yes, Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Now, I'm going to tell you right now, and you know as well as I do, everybody don't like that. And they get mad when you go to operating on them. Preacher goes to taking that fine sword and working on them. I'm telling you one thing, they don't like it none. I do a little woodworking, as you folks know, and I build things from time to time. Many different things I build and try to go about it in different ways, but it depends on what I'm doing. I've got certain saws that I use, band saws, rip saws, different things like that. If I'm ripping a board, piece of plywood, got pretty rough teeth on it, you know you don't mind that. But when I'm getting down to doing some fine work, if I want to take a piece of burl veneer, burl walnut, come out of the ground, real beautiful burl comes out of the walnut tree down what's beneath the ground. They'll take it by a stump or by a log, they'll take it to a place and they'll soak it and soak it and soak it and soak it in water. And then they'll run through a saw. They either slice it this way or go round and around this way, 1/32nd of an inch, 1/42nd of an inch, depending on what thickness that they want. And they'll take that piece of wood and it'll cut off exactly the same slices every time, over and over again. Then here's number one, here's number two. I put them together, number one, number two, number three, number four, and it makes what they call a burl face. Then you put all that together, you glue it, and I've got a certain type of glue that you put it together, and then you put it on a piece of wood, and then I put it in a vacuum bag, turn a vacuum pump on, and it pulls it down like this. 250 pounds of pressure per square inch, and I turn that pump on, let it set for an hour, hour and 15 minutes, something like that, and then I take it out, wipe the glue off of it, and then what have you got? A beautiful piece of veneer that was put together. But I wouldn't want to cut that veneer with a chainsaw. I've got a real, real sharp knife, and it'll cut your finger, it'll lay you wide open, and I've got to cut it so meticulously. I've got to cut it so slow, because if you don't get it book matched together, there will be a gap. And then you got to use filler, and then you got to use wood this and wood that. I don't want no message filler. I don't want no filler, friend. Come on, I want my life to be so book matched to the word that Jesus don't have to use no filler on me. I want to match his life perfectly to the word. Therefore, I've got to read the Logos. I've got to study the Logos. I've got to hear the Logos. I need it. Yeah. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! So that word is able to go in there and take that knife and just go. I bought an antique bed and dresser several years ago over in Lenore, North Carolina. Come out of the Broyhill family's house. Many of you heard of them, furniture makers. Well, their house is caught on fire, and this bedroom suit, it got smoked and a little bit of burn on it. The veneer was all buckled. So I took that apart. Took that old veneer off. It's very difficult when you're putting on a bed that's already built. Especially you've got the raised panels inside there. And you can't run the veneer over. You can't run it shy. So you've got to sit there and you've got to have a steady hand. And cut very, very carefully. Some of it had circles. Victorian, so 45, 90 degree. Very careful. Now if I'd gotten out and turned out. My mild, meek-mannered wife would have probably hit me in the head with a hammer. It took a lot of time. Slow time. But I figured it was worth it. So I'd cut a little bit and rest, cut a little bit, because I'm type of a guy, I want to jump in and hurry. That's where some of you all are. You want to jump right in and be able to stop the Son of God. God says, no. You still got bubbles. You got burn places. I've got a man there that's going to help you if you just sit still. I know, friends, it's painful. Because God don't give us no anesthesia when he operates on us now. I mean, brother, grit your teeth and go. Here we go. I mean, here we are in the OR. Ain't none of us knocked out. Here we sit from service to service and that knife coming right down through the middle of us and laying us open. Oh, but I'm so glad it is. Oh, glory to God. I'm so glad it is. My, it comes down and it cuts and it takes the shoulder away from the loin and from the ham meat and whatever more. And Brother David, when it gets done, what's it that separated? Something. Why did God want a shoulder? I don't know. Why did God want a wave offering? I don't know why he wants it that way. All I know is he wants it. Why does God want this or want that? I don't know. Listen, friend, there's much about the message that I don't know why God wants this or that, but I want to know. I want you to know this. I believe what's there. Whether or not I understand it, whether or not I can put it all together, I want to do what it says. I want to do what it says. We've come through fire to look back now. Where could we go after hearing such things we have heard from this message?
Hallelujah. Let me close with this. We all know Hebrews 13:8. But I wonder how many message folks know Hebrews 13:7. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the Logos of God. Brother David, what an honor. Preacher brothers, what an honor. To speak the mandate of God. The thought of God. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the Logos of God, whose faith follow concerning the end of their conversation. Do you understand what Hebrews 13:8 is? This is not just a passage or some kind of theme of just Brother Branham's ministry, friend. This was before Brother Branham. Do you understand what Hebrews 13:8 is? It is the theme of the conversation of anointed servants of God. It's not just a theme of Brother Branham. Paul was the one who was inspired by God to write this down. Listen to this. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the Logos of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. So here is the end of the conversation of men who are speaking the Logos of God. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Praise the Lord. Now, do you understand why Hebrews 13:8 is not real to so many message people? Because they separate it from verse 7. They don't believe verse 7. But you'll never get the full impact of verse 8 if you don't believe verse 7. So here, what are we to do? Remember those who are over you. And notice, remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you, the Logos of God, whose faith follow, not their human ways. People are picking and picking. Well, Brother Man said this and Brother Man said that. I'd like to know any person on the face of the earth that could tell me a vision that they had 30 years ago and tell me the same way every time how you had that vision. Stand up and I'll call you a liar. Brother Branham had a lot of gifts, but 100% recall was not one of them. That's why I tell a vision over here, I tell it over here, another way over there. But let me tell you something, friend. He was not lying. He was not making it up. Why would God vindicate a liar? Why would God, tens of thousands of visions on the platform, tell people where they live? Tell them what their name is. Tell them what their doctor looked like. Come on, children. Come on, it's the truth. And yet the Bible does not follow the human ways of Donnie Reagan or follow the human ways of William Branham or the human ways of Paul, but whose faith follow? Whose faith follow? Not the human side. All humans have mistakes. All humans have shortcomings. But faith, real faith, oh, that's what I want to follow. Let's stand. Let me read you a couple more scriptures and then we'll change directions, Lord willing, in the morning. James 1:18. Of his own will begat he us with the Logos of truth. James 1:21. Wherefore lay apart our filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness and receive the meekness of the engrafted Logos, which is able to save your souls. Now watch how it links again to our actions. But be ye doers of the Logos, and not hearers only. So a person can hear Logos, but it don't mean they'll do it. But if God gives you a rhema, you will do it. Because God can still build fires. Anybody ever had one built under you by divine match? He knows how to get you going, buddy.
Yes, sir. Watch this. But be ye doers of the Logos and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the Logos and not a doer, he is like a man beholding his face in a natural glass. And then, of course, he walks out, forgets what manner of man he was, and forgets it. Rhema, once it drops in your soul, hey, it's happening, friend. It's going to happen. You may hear Logos. Some of you may walk out of here tonight. I don't know what in the world he's even talking about. I never heard so many scriptures in my life. As usual, he's blowing spit and carrying on. What in the world was he saying? Don't think I'm going to quit wearing my shorts. Don't think I'm going to give up my television. He ain't making me do nothing. You're right. I'm not making you do anything. It's not my place to make you do nothing. It's my place to tell you. Then you make the choice. Right? That's the way Logos is. Notice in 1 Peter 1:23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the Logos of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and the glory of man is the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof fadeth away. But the Logos of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the Logos which is preached unto you, the gospel which is preached unto you. 1 John 1:1. That which was from the beginning, have we heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled, the Logos of life. You love him. Praise the Lord. Let's bow our heads together. Heavenly Father, thank you tonight, Lord, for your precious word. Oh, I love your Logos. It cuts me. It gets under my skin, as we say. It points out my faults. It hurts us. No flesh kind of tends to pout around a little bit. But yet, Lord, where would we be without it? If I think in my life that I had only Remas to live by, what would I live by? Each Christian that stands here tonight, if they would think about the Rema words, the things that you've given to them over the span of their walk with you, how many would it be? Would they know about hair? Would they know about dress? Would they know about many of these other things if they would base it simply upon Remas from God? Most of them know they would not. So we need your Logos in our lives. We need an understanding of it. We need a knowledge of it. Not only that, but logic. Being able to take the word and apply it to our everyday lives. Lord, we want to be spiritual. We want to be so in tune with you. But somehow people think the more they know about the written word, the less spiritual they are. Which is really the opposite. If we know the written word with divine understanding, it only opens up through the way of the cross a greater path to more Rhema in our life. Help us, Lord Jesus. You see, we live in such a world that absorbs our time. We've got our children. We have to take them here and take them there and take them somewhere else. And we've got this appointment and that appointment. Lord God, help the people to see they must have some time with you. Lord Jesus, not just the preachers. May the presence of God take every heart. We've got all these modern gadgets and technology. Help us, Lord, to put the app on our iPhone of the Bible. Help us to put the app on our iPhone of the message or whatever more, Lord. Not just games and toys and things like that. To see what my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge and understanding. Help us, Lord Jesus, I pray. Grant it, dear God. I wonder who in this place tonight and who outstream in the service would say, you know what, I realize after this tonight, I've not given the amount of time I need to read in the Word, to listen to the message. Would you just raise your hand to God and say, Lord, remember me, would you? God bless you, friends. God bless you for your honesty. Lord Jesus, I don't believe you send that sharp cutting sword just to cut us and not bring healing.
as a surgeon would go in, Lord, and they study a case, and if they're trying to remove a tumor, they do CT scans and whatever more that they try to do to understand where it's laying and how close it would be laying to a nerve or a certain blood vessel or something. They want to know just where to go in, which way to approach it, and how large it is. And Lord, they don't just operate on that person and take out that tumor and throw it in the floor and just roll them out in recovery and say, well, do whatever you can do to get well. But they try to mend those things, sew it back up, put it back together so that they can heal. And we know the word don't just cut us, but Lord, it wants to bring us a healing. Lord, we don't want to just hear these things and be like James said, we heard it, but we're forgetful here. We walk out and don't do it. We want to do what the word says. Help these folks to realize you do not expect them to study like a preacher, to understand like a preacher. Many of these brothers couldn't cook a pancake to save their life. They couldn't boil an egg. They couldn't make a steak. They couldn't. But just because they can't do it, don't mean they can't eat it. They would want their wife to fix and prepare, and they'll go out and buy. The Lord, help them to understand. It's not just my place as their pastor to feed them. But your prophet told us to get closer to you. It's a simple, simple thing. Read the word and pray every day. This creates the nutrients by which the Logos can grow. Grant it, Lord God, I pray. Forgive us, Lord, for filling our lives with so many carnal things. Help us, Lord Jesus. Would you grant it, Lord God? Hallelujah. Is that what you want tonight, church? Brothers, sisters, teenagers, young people, old people, all of us. May God help each of us be able to find more time to spend that Logos, allot that time. To our heart, the ground of our heart, can be a place so fruitful. I'll tell you what you'll find. You'll find the more fruitful that your heart becomes and the more nutrients and nourishment that you receive from God, when that Logos does come, you'll find it won't offend you as much as it used to. You know why? You've got more nutrients there in you. And you need it. Oh, it may still may, you know, rough you up your little flesh a little bit. But you'll find the more surrendered you become to Him, the closer you become to Him, and your heart becomes a fertile place that this seed can grow. Instead of anger response, instead of aggravation, you'll find a response, thank you, Lord. I needed that. Lord, that cut me, but I needed that, Lord. You know what that is? It's that fertilizer in your life. You're acknowledging you need that in your life. Praise the Lord. Oh, wonderful, wonderful, Jesus is to me. Counselor, Prince of Peace, mighty God is He. He's saving me, keeping me from all sin and shame. Wonderful is my Redeemer, praise. Everybody now. Oh, He's so wonderful, wonderful. Jesus is to me. Counselor, Prince of Peace, mighty God is He. He's saving me, keeping me from all sin and shame. Brothers, minister brothers, come and pray for the people. Everybody now, He's so wonderful, wonderful, Jesus is to me. Counselor, Prince of Peace, mighty God is He. He's saving me, keeping me from all sin and shame. Lord Jesus, You see the need in our brother's life.
Sin and shame, wonderful is my Redeemer, praise His name. Wonderful, wonderful, Jesus is to me. Counselor, Prince of Peace, mighty God is He. Saving me, keeping me from all sin and shame. Wonderful is my Redeemer, praise His name. Oh, my heart sings today, sings for joy and gladness. Jesus saves, satisfies, banishes my sadness. Guilt is gone, peace is mine, peace like to a river. Jesus is wonderful, mighty to deliver. He's wonderful, wonderful, Jesus is to me. Counselor, Prince of Peace, mighty God is He. He's saving me, keeping me from all sin and shame. Wonderful is my Redeemer, praise His name. My hope is in the Lord. From this time on and evermore, oh, my hope is in the Lord forevermore. Let's sing that again. My hope is in the Lord from this time on.
The living sacrifice, my only source of life.
My hope is in the Lord. This time
mercies come with every rising sun to meet the sinner in his brokenness. He offers healing and forgiveness, and those who trust in him will find their hearts.
Yeah.